Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 98, and it's a Monday, June 11th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome, everyone, to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, where we talk about gay news, geek stories, and bizarre topics. All right, so, Ray, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing after your big bingo loss?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I should have won. So last Saturday, well, actually last week, Ray texted me, "Hey, we're gonna do bingo Saturday. Okay, who's going?" And then some people are coming. Okay, let's go. And then I thought we're gonna go to one of those serious ones, but it's actually a fundraiser for MCC. So for the church,
it was Pride Bingo.
It's Pride Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we went there, MCC, and. We got some tickets, we got some bingo cards and everything, and the first one I should have won, but you know, it's a gift card, so they had to do a tiebreaker, and I didn't win the tiebreaker. So usually if it's a bingo hall, yeah, you split.
They split, yes.
Yeah. But if it's a gift card, you can't split a gift card. So they have to do a sudden death. Pick a number, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, I didn't win. I could have won, but oh well. Did you win anyway?
No.
I thought you did, but I know the last one.
I was just a winner with Jesus playing bingo.
Oh, really? Because everybody's a winner, is that what it is?
That's right.
Yeah. Pay $20 just to get in. It's pretty good. How many were there? 100?
I don't know. The place was packed, so I don't know. I don't know how many of those tables hold, but it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 at a table. So at least 160, almost 200, somewhere around there.
So, okay. Oh, we made a lot of money. That's good.
But it was pretty good.
It's good.
All good.
After the bingo, we went to an Indian restaurant. And where did you find out about that restaurant? Has that been there for a long time?
It's been there for a little while. And Lewis at work had talked about it. We were going to try to go there one day for lunch, but we got busy and ended up not going. So, and then when we got over in that area, I was like, oh, they're still open after the other restaurant closed at 9. So I was like, oh, let's just go over there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
The food was very good. I enjoyed it a lot.
I think we should go back, and I'd like to try their other dishes there. There's a lot. The menu is pretty good. Indian food is really good. And you have a choice to go vegetarian or no meat at all. Or if you want to go chicken, chicken tikka masala.
They had a good selection. I was kind of impressed because it's kind of like fast food Indian.
Yeah, it's fast food Indian, and it's pretty good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm really impressed. All right, so that was a fun weekend. I did a lot of chores yesterday. I was able to plant some more flowers and everything.
Yeah. Well, we went wedding shirt shopping, and that was a nightmare.
Why? Wedding shopping. Why?
Because if we found shirts we liked, they had it in my size or Timo's size, but not both our sizes.
Oh,
because you have to get extra, extra large for me and extra small for him. So it just washed out every time.
You might want to go online and find one and then really buy that.
So,
you know, men's apparel, maybe men's. Oh, what are you looking for anyway? Shirts or long sleeve shirts?
We don't know. We were just out looking. We had to get out of the house because the maid was here Saturday. So.
Oh, you had to kick yourself out.
Yep. So, well, okay. Anyway.
Let's go to the news. Okay. So this is a. Should I take this one?
Oh, I'll take it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This week in gay, sex club under fire for charging vastly different admission prices for tops and bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
Anonymous is a sex party for guys in Brooklyn. After the smashing success of his first event over the Black Party weekend last month, the party is returning for a second outing on June 2nd, which this has already happened.
Yeah,
organizers are charging $65 entry for bottoms, but just $25 for tops. Naturally, bottoms aren't terribly pleased about the idea of paying 50% more. Many are questioning the huge disparity in price as well as how the policy will be enforced. So, it also goes to question about what about guys that are verse and sides?
Well, so, verse is pretty much the sides. I mean, yeah, you know.
So, I know.
But yeah, it's another term for versatile. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
All right. Here's my take on this. For years, straight bars have had ladies' night, where the women don't have to pay to get in, they don't have to pay for drinks, and the men have to pay for everything. Yep. So what's the difference between that and this?
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens is it encourages a lot of girls if it's going to be a straight bar, right?
Exactly. So they're trying to encourage a lot of tops, because you know what's the biggest bitch of most bottoms?
It's going to be a lot, especially in Houston, right?
Well, no. There's not enough tops. There's not enough tops.
There's not enough tops. Everybody's a bottom. Many are bottom. Not
so
everybody.
You're all sitting at a sex party scissoring.
Everybody's a bottom. You end up scissoring. Okay, so we did get an email. I agree. We did get an email from Bill, and I could probably react to that one too. So, yeah. This is from Bill from the Bay Area. He says, this isn't really unusual. There are sex clubs that charge different for single men, women, and couples. I think the issue is that events might see a lopsided attendance of one group and potentially starve out another. A straight club might impose higher costs for single guys to inhibit trolls and stalkers. Knowing how lopsided some gay chat apps can be, it's entirely possible that a club or event could wind up with too few tops to go around. And as a bottom, that would be a real problem. So if offering them reduced pricing encourages more tops to show up. Yay, that's what he said. So yeah, I agree with Bill. I mean, it's marketing, and they want more tops in the party. So what do? You actually invite, give them a lower price. So they would be encouraged.
So bottoms are being treated like women. Everything's more expensive for them.
For women, well, it's more like the other one. The men are like in free women, women come in free. So they're for
free. Well, no, but we're talking about like women, they pay more for clothes, makeup, everything. Where men's clothes aren't as expensive and stuff as women's.
Yeah.
So men can basically walk around in a pair of jeans and t-shirt and nobody says anything. If a woman walks around like that, oh my God. Mm-hmm. She's not taking care of herself. She doesn't respect herself, blah, blah, blah. So
yeah,
I think it's kind of aligning back to some of that too, but that's just my opinion.
I guess it's part of, you know, marketing, and I guess, you know, there are ways to make money and to encourage people, and changing, having different prices, I guess it does make sense.
I mean, if it encourages more tops to be there and it pisses off the bottoms, then the bottoms that do show up are going to be really happy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So,
all right, let's go to the next story. Okay, so how could someone be not good in oral sex? Would you say you're good?
Well, he's 17 years old, Maynard. Come on.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't know what's good for him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so San Antonio PD. Oh, my God. This is just our neck of the woods, right? This is actually in Texas. I think it is, yeah. Teen stabs man over oral sex charged with assault. The 17-year-old suspect reportedly told police that he stabbed the 54-year-old man after performing oral sex. He claimed the man decided what he was doing was not right. Wow. Police said a 54-year-old man was stabbed multiple times by a 17-year-old on the far south side. The victim, Gonzalo Molina, was transported to the San Antonio Military Medical Center with multiple stab wounds, but was reportedly in stable condition. Oh, he lived. Okay. 17-year-old Job Israel Davila Rangel was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon in connection with this incident, according to the San Jacinto Police Department.
San Antonio Police Department.
What did I say? San Antonio, right?
No, you said San Jacinto.
Oh, San Jacinto.
Here in Houston.
Oh, that's right, San Antonio. The brutal attack happened around 2:25 a.m. Oh, desperate, right? It's past 2 o'clock. Saturday in the 300 block of West Malley Boulevard. SAPD said Davila Rangel told investigators he was at Molina's residence performing oral sex on him, and Molina reportedly decided what he was doing was not right. Davila Rangel told police that something came over him. Oh my God, he had an epiphany while he was giving a blowjob. And he started to stab Molina repeatedly. According to SAPD, Molina told investigators that Davila Rangel became wild with no warning and stabbed him multiple times. Investigators discovered Molina with multiple stab wounds to the chest, and early reports from the scene indicated his neck was cut ear to ear. Oh my God, scary. Davila Rangel was taken into police custody and held on $75,000 bond. What the fuck's happening in San Antonio, Ray?
Well, apparently, if you're not enjoying the blowjob you're getting, you better keep your mouth shut.
You better be good, or else you're gonna be stabbed in San Antonio.
So, but this is kind of sad. This happened, and I noticed the older guy wasn't arrested
for minor.
Although the age of consent in Texas is 17, usually if the person's under 21. But I guess with the severity of what happened here, he's not being charged with.
The guy is in the man's home. Okay, it was consensual, then everything's fine. Age of consent is good, but then
age of consent's really not good because he's still 17.
Oh, 17 is. Oh, I thought it was legal.
It's well, not. 17 is legal if you're 21 years younger. It's not if you're over 21 years.
Oh.
Old.
So. Oh, okay.
Guys.
So this is still a minor then?
So he's still a minor, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
Legally speaking, he's a minor.
Yeah, okay, legally speaking. So, yeah, he has other things to worry about, like his life instead. Sure. I guess even though being stabbed. So it's really sad that maybe that kid tricked him or something. I don't know. Could be.
I don't see a 17-year-old tricking a 54-year-old man.
Really?
No. I don't think so.
Maybe the 17-year-old look a little older.
I don't think there's no tricking. I think everybody knew what was going on. And the older guy wasn't enjoying all the teeth on his dick. And...
yeah,
he said something about it, and the kid got pissed off and has anger issues, apparently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably has daddy issues.
That's right.
Which is why he was there with the 54-year-old to start with.
Yeah. San Antonio, even. All right, let's go to the Geek Ray. Should I take this, or you want to take this? It's about AMD Pro Threadrippers.
Yeah, you can take that one.
Okay. I like this, because this gives us a lot of promise. Because I'm looking for a machine. I'm actually thinking about getting a new machine. Or building one, maybe, challenge myself. So AMD promises 32-core Threadripper processor for this year. What does this mean? Let's go on with the story. Mere hours after Intel raised brows with the promise of a 5 GHz 28-core processor, AMD has done 4 cores better with its own tease of a 32-core chip. The second generation of AMD's Threadripper processors will have a truly extreme variant that straps 4 8-core Ryzen dies together to form a unified, humongous 32-core part. This heavy metal Threadripper can handle 64 processing threads at a time, doubling the core count and the capabilities of the original Threadripper, though it can still fit in the same motherboard socket as the first generation. The only details that AMD disclosed here at Computex, as it's Computex from the Verge article, Computex, were that the second-gen Threadripper will be built using a 12-nanometer process and will be available to buy in the third quarter of this year. After the conclusion of AMD's presentation, the reporter was able to grab a photo of the default a cooler for this new over-the-top Threadripper. This heat pipe-assisted heatsink made by Cooler Master won't come in the box with the Threadripper, but it's representative of the sort of cooling you'd need to keep one running. Then again, most people interested in a 32-core behemoth for their system probably have water-cooled rigs anyway. So yeah, at this point,
so you're gonna make your rig water-cooled?
Yeah. Well, if you have a 32-core like this, it will really need to dissipate all the heat And yeah, at this kind of machine, you really need to cool it down. You know, in Microsoft, they have an underground data center now in the water, not underground, it's underwater because of cooling. And can you imagine having something like this also at home to keep it cool? You have to keep it cool. Yeah, did you have to have a machine or anyone you know that had a machine that's so fancy that it needed a water cooling system around it?
Nope. I've only seen it in the movies.
You only seen it in the movies? Yeah, I've
Yeah,
seen
and usually
people.
somebody had to jump in the water to do something to the IA to get it to cut off or restart, and they were freezing by the time they came out.
Oh, okay, just like in the movies. I do have a friend who uses something like this. So he's got, I don't know what kind of machine he's got, but generates a lot of heat. Especially, Ray, especially crypto miners. Crypto miners really use this. I think they can make use of this, can they? It's not a video card. It's really a CPU. So anyway, yeah, I'm guessing this can be used for crypto mining, but who knows? I just hope it's not that expensive because it is AMD. You know, you've used a lot of Intel machines now, Ray, right? And AMD is not. Do you even know of an AMD machine?
Not off the top of my head.
No. Actually, tell you frankly, dear listener, I am using an AMD machine. I have a 9-year-old AMD Phenom 2, I think. It's a triple core. And it's still running Windows 10. It's pretty running well, fine, but it's only for browsing. And I'm recording the show with using this too. I'm using my just a simple sound recorder here, and I even edit the show with this machine. Anyway, so these are AMDs, and I'm impressed that they're having something like this because I've always wanted to do Intel. But if AMD is really surpassing Intel at this point, then might as well go AMD. All right, let's go to the next one, Ray. Oh my
Okay.
God, this is
All
scary.
right. MIT fed an AI data from Reddit, and now it only thinks about murder. For some, the phrase artificial intelligence conjures nightmare visions. Something out of the 04 Will Smith flick iRobot, perhaps, or the ending of Ex Machina, like a robot smashing through the glass of a computer screen to stamp on a human face forever. Even people who study AI have a healthy respect for the field's ultimate goal. Artificial general intelligence, or artificial system that mimics human thought patterns. Computer scientist Stuart Russell, who literally wrote the textbook on AI, has spent his career thinking about the problems that arise when machines designers directs it toward a goal without thinking about whether its values are all the way aligned with humanities. A number of organizations have sprung up in recent years to combat that potential, including OpenAI, a working research group that was founded then left by techno-billionaire Elon Musk to build a safe AGI and ensure AGI's benefits are as widely and as evenly distributed as possible. What does it say about humanity that we're scared of general artificial intelligence because it might deem us cruel and unworthy and therefore deserving of destruction? On its site, OpenAI doesn't seem to define what safe means. This week, researchers at MIT unveiled their latest creation, Norman, a disturbed AI. Yes, he's named after the character in Hitchcock's Psycho. They write,
Oh
Norman is an IA that is trained to perform image captioning and popular deep learning method of generating a textual description of an image. We trained Norman on image captions from the infamous subreddit, the name's redacted due to its graphic content, that is dedicated to document and observe the disturbing reality of death. Then we compared Norman's responses with a standard image capturing neural network on Rorschach inkblots, a test that is used to detect underlying thought disorders. While there's some debate whether the Rorschach test is valid way to measure one's psychological state, there's no denying that Norman's answers are creepy as hell. Even though artificial intelligence isn't a new field, we're a long, long way from producing something that, as Gideon Lewis Krause wrote in the New York Times Magazine, can demonstrate a facility with implicit for the interpretive. But it still hasn't undergone the kind of reckoning that causes discipline to grow up. Physics, you recall, gave us the atom bomb, and every person who becomes a physicist knows that they might be called on to help create something that could fundamentally alter the world. Computer scientists are beginning to realize this too. At Google this year, 5,000 employees protested and a host of employees resigned from the companies because of its involvement with Project Maven, a Pentagon initiative that uses machine learning to improve the accuracy of drone strikes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I read about this.
Norman is just a thought experiment, but the question it raises about machine learning algorithms makes judgments and decisions based on biased data are urgent and necessary. Those systems, for example, are already used in credit underwriting, deciding whether or not loans are not worth guaranteeing. What if an algorithm decides you can't buy a house or a car? To whom would you appeal? What if you're not white and a piece of software predicts you commit a crime because of that? There are many, many open questions. Norman's role is to help us figure out the answers.
Wow, so they fed, because Reddit is a big social media site where you can post a lot of, you can post something and people comment, just like Facebook, but then it's really supercharged with a lot of trolls, a lot of people posting whatever and getting reactions. So they fed this to the data from Reddit.
A subcategory on Reddit, they fed the data to it.
Yeah, and if you read a subcategory there, it could be anything. And yeah, I could see that it could
have subcategory was about death.
Yeah. Well, if you do that, then it would probably think that way too. There was one who Veronica Belmont. He's one of the pretty big blogger. She does bots, and she made a bot that makes use of Twitter data. And eventually, as it learned, the bot became racist. So he had to shut it down. She had to shut it down at some point because what it learned from its machine learning is that after reading all these messages from Twitter, it could be anything, and it's really scary that it's
possible. What you're saying is even computers learn racism.
Yes, because it's taught racism.
Exactly.
So. In this case, I heard about the Google employees about Project Maven, and it is scary. That sentence by itself, Project Maven, a Pentagon initiative that uses machine learning to improve the accuracy of drone strikes. So what if these drones think that you are a target? What if these drones think that you are,
That's how Skynet got started.
So. Yes, exactly. That's why people resigned or protested, and I could see that why Google had to stop it to stop Project Maven. So it's really scary. I mean, we're in that territory now, especially when we do quantum computing, where things are really fast, computations are really fast. That computers might be able to think really fast and learn even faster. So it's really scary. I mean, we're reaching that point. It's becoming like Skynet now. Okay. All right. Let's go to the bizarre.
Should I take this one? Maynard.
All right. So the bizarre from Post Gazette. Man brutally killed roommate, dismembered body at Carrick home. This is really morbid, Ray. Kevin Thompson was a kind person, always willing to help another out. So when a man he used to date recently got out of jail, Mr. Thompson helped him find a job at a contracting company and allowed him to move in with him at his Carrick home, a friend said. On Saturday, that man, John Dickinson, was charged with brutally killing him. Dickinson, 42, is charged with homicide, abuse of corpse? What kind of abuse? Oh my God. You think it's necrophilia? Theft of a motor vehicle, access device fraud, tampering with evidence, and possession of instruments of crime. He is being held without bond and is scheduled for a preliminary hearing on June 15th. Mr. Thompson's dismembered body was found Friday at his Parkfield Street home by Pittsburgh police detectives who were investigating it as a missing persons case. Mr. Thompson, 46, worked nights. Turn at Myers Well Service, driving a water truck from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Wow, he's a very hard worker. His mother reported him missing Thursday afternoon. She also told police that her son's white-collar 2008 Cadillac CTS was missing and that his boss reported that he missed work on May 27 and did not call off. On Thursday, a Pittsburgh police officer met Mr. Thompson's mother, who described seeing staining in the kitchen. The officer completed a missing persons report according to a criminal complaint, and the next day, detectives entered the house. Sergeant James Glick saw possible dried blood on the kitchen counter, cabinets, and floor, as well as blood stains on the wall leading to Mr. Thompson's bedroom, according to the criminal complaint. Detective Edward Thollert, who also responded to the scene, smelled the odor of a decomposing body coming from a shed in the rear yard. Inside, he found a bag of dog food, which contained a white garbage bag, inside of which he found blood and human remains. Oh, gross, police said. He left the shed while detectives obtained a search warrant. After the warrant was obtained from the Allegheny County Common Pleas, Judge David R. Cashman, detectives searched the house inside and out. A human torso. Oh, Ray, this is really sad. A human torso was found in the basement, wrapped in a white trash bag, the complaint said. Several additional bags in the shed contained extremities and Mr. Thompson's severed head. The torso showed obvious signs of trauma, the complaint said. Police said that inside the house there was evidence of a violent attack from the second floor to the first, into the kitchen and down to the basement. Officers found blood on the walls, ceiling, floors, and throughout the house. An autopsy performed on Saturday showed that Mr. Thompson died of a blunt force trauma and multiple stab wounds to the chest. Police identified Dickinson as being Mr. Thompson's new roommate and began searching for him. Video surveillance from Wednesday at the Exxon on West Liberty and Pioneer Avenue showed him in Mr. Thompson's missing Cadillac with an unknown male and female, the complaint said. So it's really sad that... Oh, my God. I mean... Yeah.
This is some Dexter stuff here.
It's pretty much Dexter. So. But he did not do a good job, though. Oh, my God.
No, he did not watch enough Dexter episodes. So.
Yeah, he is not a Dexter fan. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they were lovers, and in the end...
Well, they never said they were lovers. They just said they were roommates.
Well, they were roommates, but...
So, you don't know that. That's not implied.
It's not? I thought it was. Oh, he used to date. Oh, see? So when a man he used to date recently got out of jail. Yeah, they were... Yeah, the beginning of the story. So he used to date the guy. Yeah. Mr. Thompson, yeah, helped him find a job. And the guy, yeah, so he killed his own host.
So he did. So it was an ex-boyfriend. See? An ex-boyfriend. Can't trust a damn ex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Scary. I don't know. It's really sad, but... Same time, it's really freaky because, you know, it's like Dexter, like you said. Okay, Ray, so let's go to the next one.
All right. An employee at Michigan State University is accused of having sex with a basset hound.
Oh, bestiality.
An employee at Michigan State University has been charged with bestiality and put on administrative leave after being accused of sexually penetrating a dog.
Ugh.
Health psychiatrist, physicist Joseph Hatley, 51, is accused of using his penis and hand to enter a basset hound, Fox News reports, citing the attorney general's office. The animal, which was not owned by the school, is reportedly safe and in the custody of Ingham County Animal Control. The episode happened sometime between January 7, 2018 and March 8, 2020, but did not occur on campus. The charge is a felony punishable by up to 15 years in prison. Emily Garant, a spokesperson of the MSU, released the following statement. Michigan State University was informed by the MSU Police Department on April 17th of a criminal investigation against Joseph Hattie, a health physicist with Environmental Health and Safety Unit. Note, this position does not work with students, patients, or animals. Hattie was immediately put on administrative suspension pending the investigation. The university has been and will continue to cooperate with any law enforcement officials on this matter. MSUPD is providing digital forensic support for the investigation, so they must have found video on his work computer.
Maybe this is the dog fucker. It's a basset hound. So I had to look at it. I wasn't sure how it looked like, but then it's one of those cutesy dog with long ears.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty cute dog, but then he fucked the dog. That is horrible. Anyway, so yeah, he deserves it. 15 years in prison? Is that too short, Ray?
I don't know. You have to ask the dog if it was too short or not.
Oh, okay. Maybe he is too short. No, 15 years. 15 years in prison. I think it should be longer because it's... Would you consider it's a heinous crime? It is a heinous crime because, you know...
Well, I don't know. It could be an anus crime.
Oh, God. Anus crime. That could be a good title. Anyway, Ray. Okay, so I guess that's our stories.
Yep.
That's right. So coming up soon is, very soon is episode 100. Maybe we can record it when I get back. And should be exciting because it's a milestone.
Yeah.
Getting 100 shows. All right, so special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to email us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
That's right. And yeah, messages, just like what Bill did. Yeah, thank you, Bill, for sending an email. I really appreciate it. So, also, go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Take care, everyone, for listening, and we will catch you guys on the next show. Bye.